If you want to stand just for a moment, just so I don't think it's true, but some people say I preach a long time, and so it might be better if you stretch before I preach. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start reading in verse number 19, and you'll find that the Word of God does say this: "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and love the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, verse 34 is where we're going to get the main idea for the message. As you know, we're closing, about to close out another year. And what generally happens when you're coming to the close of a year, people are thinking about what's going on next year and making plans for next year. But we have a verse here that prepares us actually for that, so we can have a successful next year, which is really by not thinking about it. Verse 34 said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now they say in the world that tomorrow never comes, so I'm going to call this today breaking free from a faith that never comes. Breaking free from a faith that never comes. Father, we ask for your help today. We just ask that you magnify thyself through preaching, and thy perfect will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And I thank you for standing. You know, I'm always amazed. You know, this is I know this is a new passage. There are certain themes that go off on a regular basis in the Bible. And sometimes I don't really... Sometimes I date my messages, but I never look back and see when I preached it last anyway. And I just preach passages. I really don't have messages, so... I may even dealt with this passage before, but I heard a sermon by, I think it's S.M. Lockridge. He said, somebody said, "I heard that before." And he said, "Well, if it didn't bear repeating, then I shouldn't have preached it the first time." So, but I know the points are new, but the passage is, every passage is so rich. But I look back and I think of, in my own life, how many new years there were plans to do something that never happened. And they weren't bad plans. And they were godly plans. They were things that were definitely aligned with the will of God and the way of God. But many of things never happen, and many people have good intentions that never come to fruition because of a principle we see right here. We're going to see some things from the passage that will help us actually to have the tomorrow that God wants us to have. And really the way we get that tomorrow is by not thinking about it today. There are things that must be done today in order for tomorrow to be what it really needs to be. And so it's... So God cautions us through the scriptures here, and he just said, and he's pretty direct here, take no thought for tomorrow. Now, that really kind of kills a lot of what we've been trained to do. And we have financial plans for tomorrow. We have educational plans for tomorrow. We have all different types of things for tomorrow. And there's a way those things fit in, but those that will all come by daily decisions that allow you to rest in the will of God and the way of God. First thing I want you to notice, number one, that if you're going to be free from a faith that never comes, verse number 19, first of all, don't lay up temporal things for tomorrow. Do not lay up temporal things for tomorrow, because the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. And that's very contrary to the way we're really taught to live. And because everything we do is about setting up, storing up, stocking up, you know. And most people think that they're poor if they're getting down to a few things in the cupboards, in the cabinets, when there's still actually food to eat. And many people think they're poor if they get down to the bank account and there's not much money left in there, forgetting, and they try to, how can I lay up treasure for tomorrow so I don't have to stress so much and work so much and be bothered so much? And God cautions them here. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure upon the earth. The labor, the motivation, the focus. Your pastor just said already, we need to be concerned about evangelizing and continually reaching out in missions. And that is what keeps us in supernatural ministry. Because everything that modern Christianity is doing can be done without God. You can budget without God. You can plan without God. You can organize without God. And God's not against those principles per se, but what He is against is being so organized and so planned out that there's really no part of living the evidence of things not seen. That's what sacrificial giving is about. Is giving in such a way, well, Lord, you know I needed this or something. He said, yeah, I know, but that's why I asked you to give it. So you can see I can give you what you need. He said, so don't lay up. Turn to Romans chapter 12 just for a moment. We're going to be back here. Romans chapter 12. Actually, pardon me. No, go back to the text. I changed some notes here right before. I'm looking at the wrong point. Verse number 2. Go back to number 2 we're going to look at. We'll be there in a moment. And verse 22. So you see, number 1, don't lay up temporal things for tomorrow. And number 2, set a single-minded vision before your eyes. Because he said, let the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You know, we have to get back to setting the focus of Christ before our eyes and living for Christ alone. I was preaching at a conference in Quebec a couple years ago, and I was talking to the preacher and talking to different people in the church, and he made the statement. He said that every time I bring up a situation, your answer is always Christ. And I said, well, the Bible says looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And you'd be amazed if any situation you look to Christ, your situation will look better. Every time you do that, if you do that, and God tells us here, the light of the body is the eye, if therefore that eye be single, so we have a single-minded focus of Christ, you know, the cross, and we keep looking that direction and focus on that, then all the decisions get a lot easier. You know, I used to play a lot of sports. I still play a little bit now with my boys. We play basketball, and every now and then I play squash or things like that, but I can't hardly watch sports anymore. And number one, I understand more and more how corrupt it is, but what really is lost from when I used to play sports is when you used to play then, you played every game like there was no tomorrow. We used to play hurt, we just taped up, go, whatever. But now, guys just kind of pace themselves and try to make it through. I was coaching the boys' basketball team the first year that they played here in Canada, and the coach, he had 4-minute shifts, and he wanted to go all out for 4 minutes. And after about a couple of sets, you know, they're pacing themselves for 4 minutes. They don't even feel like they can last for 4 minutes worth of time. You know why? Because, and what happens is, instead of just looking at the moment and being single-minded in the purpose, I need to run, I need to jump, I need to exercise and exert my force, they're thinking about, there's no way I can keep up this pace. And this is why a lot of things never get done for God, because you think there's no way I can keep up this pace. That's why people don't give the mission. That's why many never even tithe. Because they look at their budget, they look at the income, and say, there's no way I can keep up this pace. And God said, it's not about what you can do, it's about what I can do. If you set a single-minded vision upon God and upon the one that saved you and be focused upon that, then you'll be able to do what God would have you to do. Now, he says here, so you have to make a decision. If your eye is single, that means pure. It means simple. It means incorrupt, not double. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, it's amazing what's happened to men today, how men can't seem to make a decision about anything. And unstable, absolutely, so many areas of their life. And it's because we've been infiltrated. We've allowed ourselves to be infiltrated and not to have a clear, single-minded vision of Christ. And so the Bible really is true that it affects everything. We're unstable in all our ways. And it's because that we need to make a decision, and most of it is because we've allowed people to make us be concerned about tomorrow when we used to just live this moment in Christ and follow Him. The world is right about one thing, and they always say live for the moment. And that is true according to the Bible. But not for our personal moment, we live for Christ this moment, because that's the only time we know we have according to the Bible. And so as we focus upon that, then we'll be in the will of God, in the way of God, and then when tomorrow comes, you're in the right place at the right time. And you're ready to do what God wants you to do. Number three, as you look at verse 24, don't hold on to anything but Christ for another moment. Don't hold on to anything but Christ for another moment. Because in verse 24 it says, no man can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Most people that start their diets tomorrow never start their diets. Because today they had their one last piece of chocolate cake. And they go, oh man, that was so good. And tomorrow comes, guess what they have in their mind? That memory of that chocolate cake. and then it was so fresh and so vivid, because if they had just said no yesterday, the moment when God said, or when you were planning to say no, then when tomorrow comes, you're already a little bit more distant away from it. But see, what happens is we take thought for tomorrow, and because we have thoughts for tomorrow, that means we're still holding on to fears today, because God says don't think about it. We're just supposed to hold on to Him. We can't serve two masters. And what's happening here in the passage here, he begins by cautioning people that they're concerned about the treasures of tomorrow. Not too many people are concerned about having enough, not being filled enough with the Spirit to make it through tomorrow. Most people can't even focus in church because they're thinking about, okay, well, I got to go to work tomorrow this time. I got this to go. And hey, we're Baptists. So we got to eat after church, you know. So we think about food. I'm looking at chicken back there right now myself. So we have all these things. We have all these things in our mind and of what to do next. And then tomorrow comes and we have flooded with all these things. And what happens is that's what so many of God's people are depressed, because they're so overwhelmed and they're paralyzed. And most of it is not because of today. It's because of tomorrow. Now, is anybody here homeless right now? Okay, so then you've got a roof, so praise God. We're sitting in warmth right now. Even if your count is negative, nobody's coming, the police aren't after you. Amen. So there's something to be thankful about that, right? Amen. Hey, you got a measure of health. I think everybody came in here under their own power. Even if you didn't come in your own power, you got a hand that can move. And I see legs moving. I see eyes moving. And praise God, many of them are still open. Amen. And those things, if we just think about everything we have right now. I was thinking about this morning. I was listening to a song called I've Been Blessed on the way over here. And I just got to shouting as I was driving, you know. And somebody honked at me. I don't know if I swerved or whatever. But, but you know, if all God did was save me, If I wasn't saved right now and been saved 20 years by the grace of God, if God saved me this moment and all He ever let me do is walk from here to that wall and die and go to heaven, that'd be a tremendous life. I mean, do you understand what a miracle it is for our bodies just to work the way they do? I was thinking, I was looking at my hand. I think, man, this is amazing. I think about my arms and the blood that goes through my body. I mean, I thought, praise God. I mean, I'm blessed. I can think. I can see. I can run. I can walk. I can talk. All these different things. And there's so much right now that I'm able to do for God. And I've got to let go of anything but Christ, because that's the only thing that's going to power me and keep me strong. And that's in Romans 12:9, the verse I was looking for this point, tells us to basically cleave to that which is good. Romans chapter 12. Turn to this for a moment if you want to, or Romans 12 and verse number 9, notice what the Bible says here. It says, let love be without dissimulation. That means don't fake it. Abhor that which is evil. Now this is we really need work in this area. We need to not just be uncomfortable with evil, we need to hate evil. And mostly our own evil. Because the Bible says, you know, get the beam out of your own eye, then you know, see the mote in the other brother's eye. I mean, sometimes we're good about hating everybody else's evil. But we need to hate our own. If we abhor that which is evil, you know, if you hate your own evil, you'll be a lot kinder than everybody else, because you'll realize that how hard it is in your own power to deliver yourself from your own evil and how much you need Christ. And so when you see somebody else in evil, you'll be thinking, how in the world can I get Christ to them? Because that is what rescued them. That'll change your mind about helping people. And it says, abhor that which is evil and cleave that which is good. And he tells them, we can't serve two masters, so we need to cleave to that which is good right now. You know, we need to be more filled with the Spirit. If you want to have a greater year next year filled with the Spirit, forget about next year. Right now, determine that before you leave this building today, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That there, if there's anything in your life that God doesn't want you to have or hold on to, you're going to get rid of it right now. And don't start thinking about, well, how in the world can you maintain it if you need to reject this or repent of this and turn away from that. Don't think about all the pressure you're going to have tomorrow. Right now, just repent and get right with God, and you'll be amazed what God will do with you. And so you turn away from it and go, and then the power comes, because the fruit of the Spirit comes by submission to God.
Amen.
So you don't lay hold on anything but Christ for another moment. Let go of anything but Him. Number four, I think we're at, and I'm going to get my numbers mixed up because I added 2 points at the beginning, so but it don't matter. But next one, how's that? Praise God for every opportunity that you presently have to serve Him. Now see, that's what I was getting to when I talked about right now just being saved. You know, yeah, we could always use more money to do things for God. We always wish we had different gifts or abilities. But I think everybody here has a voice. And if you're saved, you have a testimony. You know, there's times in our church when we couldn't even afford tracks. It didn't matter. I still had a voice. And just preach Christ. Amen. In fact, the best witness I've ever done was without tracks anyway. And I'm for tracks. I'm for putting them everywhere. I go to Walmart, and especially around the holidays, put them in any box that has an opening, stick them in there, man. People get a Christmas gift, and there's a gospel track inside. You know? Hey, you never know. Praise God, it's good. People in our church do the same thing, you know. I'm for putting them everywhere, but at the same time, there's times you may not have that. But if you're saved, I mean, if you really are saved, you just didn't get religious and join the church. I mean, do you understand, you know, this brother here just had a baby, and I remember when Landon was born, there was a time when his heartbeat was just, it just dropped off the map. And we could tell it was pretty serious because everything stopped and we flooded the room with doctors all of a sudden. And they were, Landon was in distress, and I just stopped and I just prayed. And I said, well, when I saw it drop off before the doctors came in, and I said, dear, we better pray. And she's like, really? So that showed my prayer life, because it had to be bad if I wanted to pray back then. I wasn't very, very strong Christian in those days. And so we prayed. And then they flooded that room and came in. And just in the moment of time, his heartbeat reestablished. And we saw God do that. And we praised God for what He did. And I'll never forget that. And all He did was take care of Landon's heartbeat. And I was told that so many times, because here was a life and death situation that could have went any direction, but God decided to give life.
Amen.
And if I can't forget that and be silent about that, what about my soul being eternally separated from a holy and righteous God, doomed throughout eternity, destined for devil's hell, and there's nothing about me that any given time, any moment can tell somebody about that? I mean, I have eternal life. I mean, and praise God, I'm saved forever. And so it's not too hard to work up to tell somebody about that. Amen. I was in Walmart the other day and I was singing. In fact, I was singing, I've been blessed. What are you singing? I said, I've been blessed. I said, I got saved when I was 25. And I just told the whole story. I was ready to try to get my wife to go because I didn't want to be a husband anymore. Didn't think I would be a good father. But she didn't want to go. And God, we went to church. We heard the gospel when I got saved. And here it is 23 years later. Yesterday, amen, by the grace of God. And thank God for that. So, just have right now, Yeah, maybe like you probably wish you had a building sometime. We wish we had a church building. It'd be nice to have a place where people would come in any given moment and pray and meet with God. It'd be nice to have a revival meeting without trying to schedule, you know, 3 weeks in advance or 3 months in advance. You get a booking and then you have all your days lined up, and because you waited one day to get confirmation, they cancel all the dates, all different types of things. It'd be nice to have other resources and things like that. But right now, if you're saved, you have the Christ that's in you. You got the Word of God by which you are saved. And you heard preaching, so you ought to just tell somebody else what happened. There's so many opportunities we have right now. And praise God for those opportunities. Notice in verse 25, it says, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. So if you can formulate a thought, then there is power for you to do something for God. You can pray. It's amazing. Preacher, what your pastor said about praying for missionaries. It's amazing how people just take that for granted. You know, I hope not at this church, but if you said next Sunday, all you're going to do is pray, and many churches, many people just wouldn't come. They said, oh, we're just going to pray. No preaching, that's it. If you call a special meeting, you know, people come for a business meeting, won't come for a prayer meeting. You know, is that all you're going to do, just pray? Well, he said to always do it, so that means it's good, right? And so, and we can always do something for God. So right now, if you praise Him what you can do, then you'll do what you should do, and then when tomorrow gets here, you'll be ready for it. Instead of thinking about, here, man, I sure wish I was more spiritual. Well, you yield to the Holy Spirit that was in you and see what happens. Man, I sure wish I'd read my Bible more this past year. Read the Bible today. Yeah. And pray today. Talk to God today. I wish I'd have prayed more this year. Pray right now. Talk to God. Meet Him. I wish I was more loving. Well, love somebody before this sun goes down. You know, if there's somebody you've been unloving to, get right with God with them before the sun sets on you. Let God use those opportunities, and then there'll be plenty for you to do for God today. There's that cashier that you know on a regular basis at your grocery store, and you've never given them a gospel tract. In fact, they know you're a nice person, but they may not even know you're saved. There's that coworker that, you know, they know you're a nice person, know you have morals and etiquette, but they don't really know what makes you tick. They've never heard how you got saved. You talk about the weather, you talk about sports, you talked about the tragedies all around the world, but you didn't tell them about your personal tragedy when you headed for a devil's hell and God rescued you and brought you out of a horrible pit. There's so much you can do today. Do it. Take advantage of it. Next one we see here, remember what life is really about. Remember what life is really all about. In verse 25 also it says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You know, the Bible said you have the quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. That means God made you alive. And He makes you alive to be the same person you used to be. Life is... Turn to Ephesians chapter 2 just for a moment. What time do you start your second one?
Second one
we
start at 1.
Oh, okay. I got time. They'll wait for me. Well, hey, man, you can fast. No, you can fast today, brother. Amen.
Amen.
No, I'm just kidding. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says here. And you have the quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So God said that was you before. Okay, so life is not about us walking to the same course we did before. Now, I probably say this a lot, but the world is all about education, employment, health, and wealth. And these are the four driving things that keep people from total surrender to God. You know, I was in a camp meeting. I made sure this last time, I can remember this last year. A mother had her son, he was 16, he surrendered to preach. And she got concerned that he was a little bit too serious. And so she kind of cautioned. She was afraid he's going to go to some foreign country as a missionary. So she kind of cautioned him, really pushed him toward education. And he went to school. Nothing wrong with that. Got a great job. Making lots of money. I think he's like 20-something. He has a Corvette or something. Trained him, bought and paid for, whatever it is. Lots of money. Has no interest in God now. Shows up to church occasionally. No devotional life, nothing. But he's got lots of money. And so she was heartbroken because she pushed him back toward the course of the world. He's secure. She don't have to worry about him. Don't have to worry about taking him in by not paying his bills on time or anything like that. He's got money. But he doesn't have that which God saved him for, which is to walk with God and experience the fruits of the Spirit. He's got all these things, but he's miserable. You know, it's amazing how God's people will come and look at the things that the world has and think, man, if I just had that, I'd be so much better off. And then, were you not quickened? Were you not made alive in Christ? And it just concerned me if some people really were ever brought out of a horrible pit, you know. My son Samuel, when he was young, I mean probably 2 or 3 years old, he ate a banana, and for some reason it just happened. He got the stomach flu right after that, and he threw up. He was afraid of bananas for like 10 years because he thought bananas make me throw up, is what he thought. And there was such a memory with that throw up and that banana, he didn't want to have anything to do with them. And why do the God's people that claim to be saved from the world, saved from sin, they still want to get back and kind of taste it and touch it? And so just man, hey, that was then. In time, it says in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air. You know, so notice what down here in verse 10 it says, "For we are his workmanship." Actually, let's just read it all. It says, verse 3, "Among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind." Now see, verses like this are hard for people that aren't really saved. Because what they think is that, okay, you're just trying to keep me from doing walking according to the flesh and doing the world. So you have to have been saved and to have given your life to Christ for this to really mean something to you. Because if not, then it's just rules. My pastor used to say this. He said, rules without a relationship render rebellion. Because you have a bunch of rules, and you know, if there's no relationship, eventually there'll be rebellion. You know, like when I was in the military, I was a platoon guy, and I determined that I was going to get my men to want to work for me, not just to obey my commands. And so I was always up earlier than they were, and I checked everything. If they needed help, I gave them help, you know. And I did everything I could to make them so then if I asked them to do something, then they would know that I was working for them and not just giving them commands. Even in my home, you know, I finally realized that I'm the leader of my home. And guess what? I expect my boys and to listen when my wife tells them to do something and be their helper, so that I had to lead by example to be their helper. If my wife needed help with the dishes, then I help with the dishes. And so then when I tell them to do it, it's no big deal, you know. My wife, yesterday was anniversary, and unfortunately, she was sick as a dog. We were supposed to go away. And guess what? I spent all day. I was cleaning the house. In fact, I cooked today's dinner last night before I went to bed, you know. And so then when I tell them the next time to help your mother, they see me do it. I've led them in that way because we lead in everything. We lead in humility. We lead in submission. Being a leader is not just telling everybody what to do, because our Savior wasn't like that. He gave His life for us. And so when the Bible speaks about us walking away from lust, our Savior, do you realize that when Jesus came to this earth, He could have taken full advantage to enjoy everything that He created here? Mm-hmm. But He didn't. He came and he lived basically a boring, dull life. But it wasn't boring. He went and healed everybody. He fed multitudes of people. But he wasn't sitting around saying, man, how can I get... Man, I sure like to go lay out on the beach today. You know, all these things. And the way you get that way, now catch this now, is not by looking at a bunch of stuff and saying no to this. You know, I like to watch sports occasionally, but I haven't watched in years because I'm just too busy. And if my boys get out, I'll still watch the game. But you know what? If somebody was... If there was a basketball game on right now, somewhere just meeting, family gathering, and this brother, what's your name, young man? I'm sorry, I met you earlier, but Dylan. Okay, Dylan. That's why I didn't remember. I didn't ask your name earlier. Dylan, and Dylan's choking to death, and his And it had to be highlights from Jordan because I don't like LeBron James. But anyway, the game's on. And it's a pivotal moment, NBA Finals, there's 3 seconds left on the clock, and all of a sudden Dylan's choking. You know what? I'm going to lose total interest in that game. I'm going to go try to save his life. Nobody's going to tell me, you know, you need to have your priorities in order. And you say no to TV. No, his life's in danger. So because his life is in danger, I naturally just go try to help him. So I used to have to stay away from the television on purpose and not to watch things. But what you know what I found out? I wanted the TV all the time. And I used to have to try to, in the world, well, don't do this, don't go to movies, don't do this, don't do that. But I was thinking about the movies all the time. And everything that any principle of separation that was taught, which are good, by the way, I kept wanting to do that, wanting to do that, wanting to do this. And finally, again, went back to the single I. And then life. I have life because God saved me. And so as I devote my life to that, I naturally lose interest in the television. There's a couple of times I've traveled, preaching a revival meeting, and oh man, it's been sports. They put me up in a hotel, television there, and I turn it on for a second or two, and I start thinking about the meeting. And I'm not thinking, well, you know, I don't want to waste time watching television. I'm thinking, wow, man, I need God to do something tomorrow. I need God to do something with me. Do I really have time? Do I have an hour to spend when I know I'm going to be dealing with eternal souls tomorrow? So it's not about me saying, hey, bless God, I ought to watch TV because I'm an independent Baptist. It's about, man, somebody's in trouble. And God sent me there because they need help. And God sent me there the same way He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rescue me from sin. And Jesus didn't spend a lot of time in recreation. And He wouldn't. And by the way, he didn't really go preach against not doing those things. He just simply walked tirelessly helping people. And there just naturally wasn't time. So we got to get everything back and fall in love with Jesus again. And you'll be amazed what we won't have to preach on if people just love God. Amen, life. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
All right. But I don't know where that came from, but that was bonus, amen. But we see here, I just know my daughter ran away. I told somebody to ran away when she was 15. And when she ran away, she was the most obedient. She was the most helpful. If you asked anything, she would do it. She was the most supportive of absolutely everything we did. And she just disappeared one day. Because she was just out of her mind. And we were training her from the outside in. And I didn't take enough time to get to know my daughter and find out what was really on her inside. I learned a great lesson through that. And what I'm saying to you, as we look at this, is that, man, if you praise God, if you remember what life is really about. See, eternal life, I think John 17:3 says, this is life eternal. That they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, and Thou hast sent. My daughter said the thing that brought her back to God was me living God out loud. For her seeing that God really was alive in me. And what I was number two, number one was her finally seeing that I really loved her unconditionally. That I wasn't just loving her because of what she could do for me. Because there was about two hard years that where it was just, I didn't know she'd be home the next, when I go to bed at night, I didn't know she'd be there in the morning. But God was good through all. Now we're next to my wife, we're the best of friends. And God did that because I remember what life is all about. It's not about having a perfect exterior or just saying no to the things of the world. It's just about saying yes to God, you know. I didn't marry my wife because she told me all the bad things about every other girl out there. I married my wife because, number one, man, she looked good. She's beautiful. And I began to know her, and I thought, man, she's got some wonderful qualities. And there was enough wonderful quality to think, I'm going to get to know her some more. And the more I know her, the more I like her, and I wanted to know more. And so naturally, I don't wake up in the morning and say, well, all these girls out here are bad. No, I said, no, my wife is just good. And so I wake up in the morning and I praise God for His goodness, and then I don't have to want the things of the world. As I begin to thank God and praise Him for the Word of God, something says, you mean, why not read it? It's just kind of no brainer, as they say. But anyway, let's go on here. Where are we at? Okay, let's go back to the text here. I got to, wow. Okay, you won this next one. Okay. What time did I start? Anyway. Amen. Where are we at? Back to Matthew chapter 6. So don't, I want you to be able to have the life next year that God wants you to have. But you got to stop thinking about tomorrow. You got to decide today just to follow Him. We see here in verse 26. Next one, rest in the Father's way of taking care of you. Rest in the Father's way of taking care of you. He says in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So he said, just look at those fowls out there. God knows us, you know. If we ever understand that God knows us, you know, I've been married 23 years. My wife knows me. There's times when I'm mad and I don't want to act like I'm mad in the past, and she knows I'm mad. I didn't say anything. She said, well, you didn't have to. And don't you hate that? You know they know, and you're trying to mask. You're trying to be right, but you're still mad. And God allowed him to see that so that you could humble yourself. You know. So, but God knows us. And so he's addressing things that he knows are hindering us from being the people he wants us to be. He knows that we all want to lay up treasure for tomorrow because we are, by our nature, we want to live by sight instead of by faith. We like to have security. We don't have to worry about it. We know that, man, you know the hardest thing about living this life, especially in North America, there's no persecution here. It's just distractions. Distractions everywhere you turn, you know. A lot of good things you can be doing to get involved in, you know, but is it the perfect thing? Is it the right thing? You know, when the Christian life is not about doing what's good anymore, it's about doing what's best. See, when you're lost, you try to either make a good decision or a bad decision. The good decision is to repent and come to Christ. But once you're saved, and now it's about the best decision. Because a lot of things out there, they might not be bad, but is it the best thing? But we see here, he said, now look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow, and they don't reap, nor gather into the barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Well, how does he feed them? Well, we would say by instinct. God put something in a fowl to direct them where they need to go. And when they follow his direction, guess what? There happens to be food there. And when they follow his direction to a fowl, he generally doesn't lead them to an armadillo, because they can't break through that shell and eat that. He leads them to a seed or some small fleshly creature that they can eat. He leads them to something that they can digest. So they're fed by, number one, the Father's leadership. And if God's people follow the Father's leadership, you know, think about it. You know, think about a bird flying by instinct. You know, many times when a bird takes off, they cannot see where they're actually going to get their food from. But they just take off by instinct and fly, and all of a sudden, what comes into view is food. Hey, even those that dive into the water, they fly, they head toward the water, and from a certain distance, they can't see anything in there. And all of a sudden, and some of them, from what I've studied, they don't even see. They just dive in there and then hit something. It's kind of like if you ever fish, sometimes you snag something, you know. Somebody get those, you threw it out there and all of a sudden something hit instantly. You know, you're like, man, I got the big one. You're getting all proud. You think you got this fish and you hooked it in the back. You can't even take credit for it. Because you didn't really do anything. But the Father takes care of us. He says, look at them. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. They're not storing up anything. I mean, fowls don't have refrigerators. They don't have deep freezers. I mean, they don't have a Costco card so they can buy in bulk. And I'm not against these things, but think about it. They just trust him daily. They only survive what they have daily. You imagine, well, let's be honest for a second. Imagine what could be done in the Christian church if everybody really lived, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, all of us got enough food in our house right now, we could feed a lot of people. Even those that are scarce. It may just be sweet peas or something like that. Some we don't really want to eat. You know, we always see when food's getting low, there's always something in the back cupboard you don't really want to eat. You know, you think, why did I buy that? You know, it's still back there and sit there. And something happens, you know. But if we really live like that, think of all the resources that would be generated And sometimes, God, we throw food away, things happen, and just and we just rest in the Father's way of taking care of us. And he tells us something here in verse 26. I really wish you believed this. Are ye not much better than they? And if a fowl didn't sow or didn't reap nor gather in the barns, I mean, and God takes care of them. I mean, very seldom do you see a fowl starve to death. I haven't seen any, I haven't counseled any. Worrying about being evicted. God just takes care of them. Next thing we see here, verse 20, consider the glory of God's simplest creatures. Consider the glory of God's simplest creatures. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. My wife is on me, she said, I don't like to spend a lot of money on clothes, you know. I mean, one of my favorite jackets is the one I pay the $6 for the thrift store, you know. And she said, you just really ought to, somebody send me some money for Christmas. She said, you ought to just buy yourself a nice suit, you know. I said, dear, but when I go preach somewhere, I get the most compliments on this $6 suit that I bought at Value Village. And I like it. It's comfortable. And it's clean and it's comfortable, you know, but I'm sick of seeing it. That's okay, though. God clothed me with it, you know. When I didn't have money for a suit, he gave me this one, and I like it. And the lilies of the field, think of how they grow. They're not toiling. They're not laboring. They're not workaholics killing themselves just to make themselves look good. Neither do they spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory, and Solomon, he was the wealthiest man alive, that in all of his glory, the Bible says, is this a Bible-believing church?
Yes.
Okay, the Bible says that Solomon's glory didn't compare to a lily in its greatest, in its highest form. In all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And this one, and all it is God's created, God just made it. And what's his purpose? Well, just sit there and glorify God. You know, think about what would happen if we would just be still longer. The glory that God could show. He told the disciples before he set the principle with them, go wait till you be endued with power from on high. Sometimes something we're going to New Year. I know that most people here think you've got to do something. Got to do something different. No, you just need to repent today. The question you need to ask is, were you in the will of God? And honestly, since the Bible says forgetting those things which are behind, it doesn't matter anymore what you did or didn't do last year. It matters today, are you in the will of God? Are you doing what God wants you to do? And if the answer is no, just repent. He said we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, if you just, maybe you're just a religious person just faking it. That's why you're so miserable. Just repent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I mean, hey, I remember preaching as a lost preacher. Being under conviction, and man, I'm preaching about the joy of God, and I'm miserable because I know I don't have it. Isn't that crazy? I was teaching my pastor one time, and I was talking about, man, I was looking at a lure. We were trout fishing, and the water is so crystal clear, you can see it all in there, you know. And I'm looking at the lures, I thought, man, that looks like a real fish. I said, man, Pastor, that's amazing how much it looks like a real fish. He said, no, you know, he said, no, it was really amazing. Someone that would pretend to be a Christian and never become one. That's what's amazing. So consider the glory of God's simplest creatures. There's not a mother alive whose heart doesn't melt when a child goes and grabs some lilies of the field and brings it to him. In fact, they can even grab those little dandelions and a mother's heart melts the first time that little son or daughter brings in a fistful of those dandelions. That's better. I don't want to disappoint you, man, but that melts your heart even more than those roses you get on an anniversary. Maybe. I think it does. I've seen a look on my wife's face, and she likes when I bring her flowers. But next thing here, and I think we're at the last one. Some are glad, some are sad. It said, and this one really goes very simply, if you're a new creature in Christ, live like it. If you're a new creature in Christ, live like it. Notice verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, don't live like the Gentiles. He said, if you're saved, don't live like them. Gentiles is all planning and getting ready. We got to see it all. So, what is it? See the plan, work the plan, something like that? All these business principles. Psalm 27, good verse here. Psalm 27. Believe it or not, I'm not really trying to help you have a good year. I'm trying to help you have a good day. If you have a good day, you might want to live for the next year. You know why many Christians don't see any purpose for tomorrow? Because they don't have any joy today. People sit in church every week. I mean, I used to be one of them, you know. I could be watching football. Or I could be sleeping. One more point. Here he goes. And he said, well, I'm almost done. And you're thinking, liar. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, and my foes came upon me, eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall rise against me, and this will I be confident. Now, verse 27, I preached this thought so many different places. I've said it to you. I'm going to repeat it anyway. David says, the Lord is his salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, that means he had it all because he had salvation. You know, you and I, you may be in debt right now. And you think, man, if I could just get out of debt, I'll be doing better. No, if you're saved, God's your salvation. So you're rescued. He's your salvation. And you may think, man, if my health is a little bit better, then I just could do so much more for God. No, if you're saved, God's your salvation. Hey, the disciples, you know, when they were sitting in jail, they didn't think, man, Lord, please get us out of this mess. No, they had salvation. They had the Lord. And that's why they could sing and praise God, you know. Because they had salvation. Amen. And the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They bound them. They threw them down in the furnace. And, you know, when the Bible says they're down there walking in the fire. And they weren't climbing up the sides trying to get out. They had their salvation. Jesus was with them. Amen. See, the fire's all right with Jesus. Amen. I wonder how are they walking, you know. Because I secularize everything. I'm thinking, man, they were just... Can't touch me. Yeah. Hey, turn the heat up. I'm kind of cold down here. The hosing can't fell off me. The ropes will keep me warm. But they had salvation. So we live our lives constantly looking for a better situation. And we miss out on the joy of salvation right now.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying there's not issues that go on in life. I mean, I weep sometimes, I cry. But you know, every time I start praising God, it just gets better. I start thanking God for different things. And here's the issue. He said, if you're a new creature in Christ, live like it. Verse 4, this is, notice what David says here. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? Why would he want to do a ridiculous thing like that? Well, he said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. He said, behold means to take notice of. He said, I just want to take notice of the beauty of the Lord. I just want to see it. Lord, just let me, one thing, Lord, if I could just have one thing. See, it's not to be friends with the guy that won the $600 million, by the way. He said, no, that I could just dwell in the house of the Lord. And just to behold the beauty of Him. And then he said, inquire of His temple. Just to, why would you want to inquire so you just know more of Him? Isn't that what Paul, that I may know Him and the fellowship of His sufferings? I said, turn to James chapter 4. I think this is the last verse we'll look at. Draw it all together, I think. If you don't think I drew it all together, just raise your hand and I can start over. Don't want to leave you. Don't want you to leave here famished. James chapter 4. Verse 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that." But notice this, "But now you rejoice in your boastings." Now, if you're hoping to lose weight next year, you think, man, you're thinking this is the year. And you're rejoicing in that boasting. Thinking, man, I'm going to do it this time. Do you have any plans for the new year? Maybe something, like you said, maybe you haven't read through your Bible in a while. And you're thinking, man, this is the year. And you're rejoicing in that boasting. There's not bad things to do, by the way. You want to reach more people for Christ this year. Good intention. You have hope and purpose and vision, and you're rejoicing in that boasting. But your eyes are on an impure perspective, because we just need to be looking at Him, what He wants today. Because notice what He says about that. He says, "But now you rejoice in your boastings." He says, "All such rejoicings." What does that say there? Anybody got the Bible open? What does that say? Anybody still awake? What does it say?
It's evil.
He said, if you're saying today or tomorrow we're going to go do this, and that's where your vision, that's where your hope is in, what you're going to do today or tomorrow, He said, that's evil. Why would that be evil? Because God has something for you to do right now. And that's the most valuable thing you could ever be involved
Amen.
In. And just do it. Like I said, forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth for the things that are before. What's before? Well, the Lord, because you're following Him, right? He said, follow me. You know, so you follow the Lord. Where's He at? He's right there before you. We can't see into the future, so if we're following Him, we'll follow Him right now. And if you test that focus, your next year, don't think about it though, is going to be filled with faith. But if you're planning right now for what's going to happen next year, man, I believe within this room, the people with good intentions, so there's somebody who would say, man, I want to know God more this year than I ever have. And some would say, I'm going to want to witness more people than I ever have. And some people would say, man, my body is temple of the Holy Spirit. I would like to lose some weight and take care of my temple. And so those aren't bad things. And there were some that would say that, you know. But God said, no, well, just follow me today. Because, you know, if you follow Him today, tomorrow you'll know what the priorities are supposed to be when you make it to tomorrow. If you make it to tomorrow. Because you may follow Him completely today and the trump goes off. And you'll be so glad you didn't wait till tomorrow to give everything to Christ. You'll be glad you did it today. And there'll be fruit from that, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, meekness, goodness, temperance, and faith, all the things that come with that, you know. You know, I was thinking when I was driving over here last week, and I got on the 401, I'd been on it less than 5 minutes, and there was already an accident that covered 3 lanes of the highway. And I thought to myself, I sure am glad I'm on this highway in the will of God. Because I don't like driving in ice. The one major accident I had was driving in ice. And I just thought, I wasn't saved then, and I was a lost person. And I let my insurance lapse for 3 days, and I had the wreck within a 3-day period. Don't tempt the Lord. God was getting my attention. Thank God He did. But I thought, man, I'm so glad I'm on this highway in the will of God, going to preach. Even though I didn't get to, I was doing what God wanted me to do. You know what? If you determine right now just to follow the Lord, there's going to be some things you'll never get to. But you'll be glad you made the right decision. We're in the will of God. We must break free from the thought that tomorrow is going to be a better day, when today is the best day you could ever possibly live.
Why? Because if you're saved, you have Christ within, you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the Word of God. What more could you ask for? The Bible says the Lord is a portion of our inheritance, so what more do we need than our portion?
Yes, sir.
In fact, if you back a little bit in James, they desire to have, they lust, and they have not. Because they lust, and even when they do ask, they don't get it because they want to consume on their lust. Well, what more does a child of God need when they have their Heavenly Father in Christ within? What more does a lily need? What more does a fowl need except to follow the commands of the Creator? The only way it will happen, though, is going to, the way your decision will happen, you're going to have to slow your life down enough, and you're going to have to show God the priority enough to see if you're really willing to listen to Him.
Yes, sir.
And so God knows your heart, and God created one of you, and He knows what your distractions are. So whatever you have, if you want to be the person God wants you to be tomorrow, which again, that starts today, you just got to say, Lord, you've got to ask the Lord, what is it that I can do this moment that you would know that you have my full attention? Many of that's different. Like I said, in this room, there's a lot of different things in this room. That's why we can't just make blanket rules for everybody, you know. That's why we trust with the individually walk with the Lord. But I really want you to have a good day. I really want you to have the day that God made you for. And it's a day to be able to bring Him glory, you know. When I go through Parkdale and I see a lot of these people that are possessed and many on drugs and strung out, you know what breaks my heart? I say, man, that's one of God's creation. That's just not bringing Him glory. And you know, the sad thing is, I mean, I go to churches and I preach revival meetings and travel sometimes by the grace of God, and I see nice, clean people, but there's no fruit of the Spirit, or if it's just very little, and my heart breaks just as much as for the drug addict, because I think there's one of God's creation. I mean, God's people, they're some most overworked, stressed out people you ever see. There's supposed to be a difference between the holy and the profane. What's happened? Well, because God's people, look this up, Psalm 28, I'll quit. I know I shared this verse before. It's a good verse. Some verses you just need to go back to all the time. David asked the Lord in Psalm 28. He said, Lord, be not silent to me. He said, lest thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. He didn't say he's going to the pit, but he said, if he didn't have communion and fellowship with God, he said, I'll become just like them. What's happened to God's people, they're not hearing from God, and they become just like them. There's no fruit. And many sit in churches and there's just no root either. But the good news is God said, I want you to have fruit and root. And God wants you to have a day, so when you go to bed at night, you know the Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. And that's true because the Bible says the work of God, the labor of God, is to believe on Him when we ask Him. And guess what? To believe on Him, you have to know where He's at, to follow Him. But when you actually really believe on Him, and when He said, man, you can rest. When I was a lost person, I used to drive from Fayetteville, Arkansas to Dallas, Texas. And it was a 6-hour drive that I'd drive in 4 hours just to go hang out and party. And there's so many times I almost died on the highway, fearful, crazy things. In fact, one of the times when I had the wreck, I never could rest on that ride, you know. But like I said, when I rode over here the other morning, cars in the ditch everywhere, and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Had rest. It rolled on in. How's your rest today? That's what the fruit it calls peace. Father, so many things I would like to say, but I would like to even review the points, but you said no. And Lord, I just trust your Holy Spirit to make application where it needs to make application. Lord, as my dear brother and friend takes control of the service, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, if I say any more, I'll be trying to do the part that you have to do. And Lord, only you can speak to the heart of your creation. And Lord, I just pray, Father. Lord, you said very clearly, take no thought for tomorrow. So, Father, I pray you'll free every hearer today from thoughts of tomorrow and allow them to be consumed with you. and your will for today. I pray that they could be consumed with the magnitude of your great love, or with you love them by giving the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May that envelop their hearts and their minds to the extent to where they'd be willing to do anything you'd have them to do, realizing that you only want them to do something that's in their best interest because you love them. Father, make application. I pray that in stillness the Spirit of God will speak to hearts, and every person very clearly know what you're asking them. If there's someone here that's not saved, they already know that, Father, because the only thing they've been hearing is that they need you. And Father, for those that are consumed with whatever, I pray you'll, as you touch each individual heart, I pray they'll just do what you've asked them to do. Thank you, man, a great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all pass you and finish with Psalm 494. 494.